Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning. This morning, we're speaking with Don Miller. He's a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Coatesville. Welcome, Don.
Welcome. Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Don, and I know you're working with the poor there in Coatesville, and the outreach is tremendous. Tell us a little bit first about yourself and how you got involved in this ministry.
I got involved in this ministry when our conference was first founded in 2007. I'm a member of Our Lady of the Rosary Parish here in Coatesville, and I was looking for something to do, to get more involved in our parish and in our community. And I heard of the conference. I heard from our pastor that a conference was going to be set up here in Coatesville, a conference of St. Vincent de Paul, which has a ministry toward the poor. And I really felt that this was something that I would like to get involved in. And I went to the first meeting, and I liked what I heard, and I signed up, and I've been with them ever since.
Tell us a little bit, Don, about the ministry in Coatesville. What are the specific needs of the city of Coatesville?
Well, there are many. Coatesville was at one time a very prosperous and thriving community, and it was based mainly on the fact that they had a huge steel plant here called Lucan Steel, which went out of business and put many people out of work. And since that time, the town has been struggling. And there's a lot of need in the city. And so we are doing what we can to help.
And I know that at one point you guys were based at St. Cecilia's Parish. I know that that is now probably, I don't know if it's being sold or if it's being reused or repurposed. Where are you based?
Well, we're based now in St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville. And we are aligned with Our Lady of the Rosary Parish also. That's the other parish in Coatesville now. St. Cecilia's did close. We were there for quite a while. We had our meetings there, but now that is closed, and we meet now at St. Joseph's Church in Coatesville.
And with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, the outreach is so important. So how do you connect with those in need? I know that if you had a base where people could come to you for clothing or come to you for whatever their needs might be, that would be one thing. But being based in an active parish, how do you interact then with your clients?
Well, we get our clients by telephone. We have a hotline number, and we have one of our members is dedicated to just answering the phone. And that person will take the names of the people who called, why they're calling, get all the basic information, and then when we have our meeting, she will bring those names to our meeting, and she will distribute those clients to our members, who then will go out on the home visits.
And do you want to give out the hotline number? Do you have it right now for those in Coatesville?
I sure do. It's 484-905-2166.
And let's do that one more time, just in case people were writing something down.
Okay, that's 484-905-2166.
And that's for anybody who has a need in the Coatesville area, if they need some help with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. What could they actually ask for?
Well, it varies, but there's a certain category that the majority of people call in for, and that is usually needs for their utilities being shut off, either water, electric, heating oil, and they're having trouble with their rent. They got behind in their rent, and their landlord is threatening to evict them. Food. Sometimes people are just just don't have enough food, and we don't have a food bank ourselves, but we do have resources. We have a very excellent resource sheet that we give out to people, and we let them know where they can find food.
That's great. Now, I would imagine that's pretty expensive. Are you actually paying the bills of those who can't make their bill payments, or how do you get the funding for that?
Well, our funding comes from the contributions from our two parishes that we're aligned with, Our Lady of the Rosary and St. Joseph. Both of those churches have an envelope in their church once a month. There's an envelope for St. Vincent de Paul. And we've been very blessed by the contributions that we received from these two parishes.
And that's
and also we do get private donations. And we even get donations from churches in the area. A non-Catholic church recently contributed a very sizable donation to us because they know now that we are a very credible organization and that we do good work. And so we have generated a lot of trust in the community over these past 10 years. And we even get referrals. The Salvation Army refers people to us now. And so we have a good working relationship with other churches in the area and ministries.
Well, that speaks well of your reputation in Coatesville. Now, I would wager a bet that none of you guys are being paid. This is all volunteer, correct?
Yes, no pay involved here.
No overhead. when you're giving, then you're 100% going to clients in need.
Oh yeah, I mean the funds that we receive. I mean everything that comes in, it just goes right out. I mean there's very little. The only thing that we need to pay for is our phone bill and some stationery and things like that. But everything that we receive goes right out. And sometimes it's very very close. Sometimes we don't have much to help our clients with. Other times there's a feast that we have. We have a good supply of funds, and we're able to help those in need. But usually the Lord provides for us, sometimes in miraculous ways even. We've had so many times where we thought that we didn't have enough money to help our clients, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, something would come in and be just enough to cover our expenses.
Can you give out an address or a P.O. box where if people want to write a donation? And we're heading into the season of Lent, which almsgiving is one of the great spiritual works of mercy that bring about a change in spiritual lives. So if anyone is thinking about maybe where they'd want to put some extra money as we head into Lent, think about the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Coatesville, where the needs are so pressing. Can you give us an address that people might be able to send a check to?
Sure. Send it to St. Joseph's Church. Care of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and that'll be 404 Charles Street, Coatesville, PA 19320.
And would that check be made payable to St. Vincent de Paul Society?
Yes.
Okay. And then you're going to send it to St. Joseph's Church, is what he's explaining there, because that's where they're physically located.
Yes.
Now, talk a little bit about the ministry in terms of its spirituality. I know that, you know, we talk a lot about GMOs, you know, or NGMOs, there is a component to this that you're not just helping people, but you're probably interacting with people and keeping them close in prayer. Is that part of what you do as well?
Well, of course. At our meetings, we pray for our clients. Every meeting, we pray for our clients. We also pray with our clients when we go to the home visit. Part of the home visit is really a central part of the ministry, because that's where we actually get out and meet the people and let them know that we are there as representatives of Christ and the Catholic Church, and that we are not social workers, but we are there because of our Christian commitment. And at the end of our meeting, we usually have a prayer with the person, or the whoever's there. We respect their wishes. We ask them if we can say a prayer with them, and usually they always say yes. And so we just tell them that we love them and God loves them, and we'll be praying for them.
And what kind of, you must see the spectrum of different needs and cases. And I know Coatesville is a huge resting point for a lot of people newly immigrating to the country. You have a mix probably of a lot of different languages there. Talk a little bit about some of your clients, not specifically, but just in terms of maybe anecdotally.
We have a large Hispanic community now. And St. Joseph's Church now has a Spanish speaking priest who ministers to the Hispanic community. We have all, every ethnic person that you would imagine is there. But they're all people. All have usually the same type of need. It's they just don't. They don't have enough income coming in. There's a mother with several children in the home, and they're living on public assistance. And it's a very some of these people live a very difficult life. I can remember walking into one house recently, and this person called in looking for assistance, and I forget exactly what it was, but when we walked into the house, there was no furniture in the house except for a table, like a card table in a dining room and a couple of chairs. And so when you see things like that, it's just, you just want to do whatever you can to help them.
Wow, no furniture at all. You're saying just a card table? Wow.
I'm saying a card table in the dining room, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two or three or four children. I forget which. And we have tried to help people with furniture and things like that, but we don't have a warehouse here.
Right.
And whatever we do is strictly on the out of the goodness of our volunteers' heart. Sometimes we'll hear of a person or a neighbor who has an extra sofa or chair they want to get rid of, and we will get our pickup truck and go pick it up and deliver it to the home. We do a lot of things that are above and beyond what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. And I know that because you have a prayerful ministry, you might be able to enlighten our listeners on who St. Vincent de Paul was. Who was this man that started this community way long ago in France?
Well, actually, he did not start the community. St. Vincent de Paul was a French priest who lived between 1580 and 1660.
Okay.
And he did have a very big heart for the poor of France, especially in Paris. And he did whatever he could to help the poor. But our conference was not founded until 1835 by a man named Frederick Ozanam, Ozanam. And he also saw a great need to help the poor in France. And he decided that he was going to do something about it. So he got a few friends together, and they started helping the poor. And they decided to name their conference, their group, after St. Vincent de Paul, because they heard what a great advocate for the poor he was.
And what year was this?
That was in 1835.
Okay.
And since then, it's just grown and grown. It's a worldwide organization with over a million members and hundreds of conferences all over the world doing all kinds of different work. They do, some of this conferences do more than we do here, because they have they're better situated to do that. Some of them have, there are thrift stores situated throughout our country where they sell, you know, they sell used food and used clothing and furniture. They also provide housing in some areas. They provide health clinics. The ministry is very, very large and very, very important.
Yes, I think it's universally familiar to most Catholics. You've either seen a St. Vincent de Paul drop-off center at your parish, but it's certainly a familiar name to most Catholics, for sure. And I find it fascinating that it was taking off in France in the early 1800s, pre-Civil War in America times, when, you know, sometimes when the faith, this is following the French Revolution and you're trying to rebuild the faith, sometimes the charitable works are what builds the faith, more importantly, sometimes than necessarily preaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, this is actually a form of preaching, really. You know, I mean, you can, doing things like feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and visiting those in prison really says a lot. Sometimes
yes.
More, you know, that's really saying something.
Absolutely, yes, yes. And talk a little bit about, for the listeners who aren't necessarily in the Coatesville area, what the city in terms of the crime and the immigration and the poverty levels are. It's economically, is it fair to say it's distressed or depressed?
I would say it is depressed. I would say that.
The median income is probably not that high, right?
The median income is not that high. I don't have the figures for the income. I don't have any crime figures. But there is, of course, there's some crime in every city, but the people in general are very good-hearted people. And the ones that we have met are just wonderful people. They just need a hand up, you know.
Mm-hmm. The fact that it used to be a thriving industrial city, where if you needed a job, you could just walk down the street and you know, without a car, be able to be employed and feed your family. These days, as we know, in many of the cities across America, are kind of the manufacturing jobs are gone. So what a great outreach this is. And in terms of people who maybe are just, you know, having trouble paycheck to paycheck, especially during the winter months where the heating bills can get really high, this is a great sort of pressure valve relief for someone in economic strife to be able to help them make that payment.
Yes.
So they're not going to be either evicted or freezing.
Yes, yes. And we have great contacts with the heating oil companies. Who will go out of their way to bring a delivery in times of need? We have a great resource that we can give to people for heating oil and for other things.
I want to give out the number again. The hotline number is 484-905-2166. We're speaking with Don Miller. He's a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, helping the poor in the area of Coatesville, Chester County. And just wanted to ask about, with regards to St. Joseph's and to Our Lady of the Rosary there, the support you get from the parishioners there in terms of making it a vital link between their spiritual lives and your outreach. How many people are involved in terms of volunteering or making these house visits or at least helping out financially when they can?
Well, we have about 10 people active in our group who come to the meetings and who go out and do home visits. We have other people who
And Don, let me just interrupt there. 10 people for how many client bases that usually?
Well, it varies from week to week and month to month as to how many clients that we have. In other words, the clients we have are the ones who called in.
Right.
Between meetings. So some weeks we'll have maybe 10 clients. Other meetings will be 5 or 6. Other meetings, 12, 14, it depends. But, yeah, so we have 10 active, we'll say 10 active volunteers who go out and do the visits. And then we have a group of people who are on the sidelines who will make themselves available if we need somebody to help out in any way. We have a list of those people who are ready. And there we have maybe about 10 or 15 of those people.
And then the parishioners support with their money, with their financial contributions, right?
The parishioners put their money in the envelopes and support us that way, yes. So we are a real blessing to the parish because prior to us being coming into existence, the pastor would receive these calls from people who were seeking assistance and telling him that they need help for this and that, and he would have to, on his own, try to determine whether this was a legitimate cause to help them out with. And so now he doesn't have to do that. He just refers the people to us, and we go out and visit and make the determination of whether these people are really in need or not.
And just explain to us how you're connected internationally or nationally with the other societies.
Well, nationally, there's a main headquarters, I believe. It's in New Orleans. That's where the national headquarters is. And then here locally, we're associated with the conference in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is our mother house, you might say. Mm-hmm. And that's how we get our 501c status through the Philadelphia conference.
And what, with regards to employment, are you at all able to help people? Do you connect people?
No, but we do have, like I say, we have a resource list that we give them. And one of the things that is on our list is employment. And we just direct them to these agencies that we're going to help them. We ourselves do not.
Oh, you're sort of the facilitator, though, that gets them aware of where these places are and maybe help them get ready to do the interviews and to put them at least in touch with the people that can facilitate employment for them.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, we have really discussed a lot here. I want to just sort of recap what we've been talking about. We're speaking with Don Miller, member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society in Coatesville. He's talking about the fact that this is really comprised of two different parishes, St. Joseph's and Our Lady of the Rosary, both in Coatesville, that they have a tremendous outreach to anyone in need. The hotline number again, 484-905-2166. Everything from maybe a shutoff notice on your heating bill, or maybe you know your tank has run dry in terms of gas because of the winter months, where those costs can get really high. It can really spike given a weather event. Clothing and some food. Also directing you to various agencies for possibly employment or possible places to live. I guess that you run the gamut on what you can direct people to and how you facilitate their needs. It's a very personal thing. It's not just calling somebody on a phone and getting an impersonal thing. There's actual home visits that are done to assess needs and to assess the lives of the people that you're helping. And there's also a spiritual component. You're having that one-on-one charity that you also immerse in prayer and you keep as part of your community and part of they feel part of the family, really. They are in Coatesville. Am I summarizing this accurately?
Yes, you did a very beautiful job of summarizing. We also help people who are in jeopardy of being evicted from their homes. We have managed to establish a good relationship with some of the landlords in the city, and a call from us asking for more time, for a little bit of leniency for the person, sometimes goes a long way and it helps the person from actually being evicted.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you're that trusted source that people know, and you give them your word is good, and that you can make good on whatever needs to be done or at least facilitate a move in that direction to get the situation resolved. It speaks volumes about the respect that you've earned in the Coatesville community, and we just applaud all of the efforts of all you, the volunteers, the 10 people that are really on the front lines there in Coatesville, as well as yourself. And if anyone is interested or want to find out more, you're based out of St. Joseph's Parish in downtown Coatesville, and you want to give out that address once more?
Yes, it's 404 Charles Street, Coatesville, Pennsylvania, 19320.
Well, Don, thank you very much for your time this morning. We are very privileged to be speaking with you and wish all of you the best of everything as you minister to the needs of the poor there in Coatesville.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless.